Episode 133 of Shepherds and a Lamb. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Is there a reason he was born among the animals and laid in that manger? Why were the shepherds the first to be told of the birth of the Savior by the angels themselves? God's rich salvation tapestry was all woven together on that night long ago, one on which he had been working for generations.
Good morning. Grace and peace to you. Got to get the electronics right here. Just a reminder, next Sunday evening for the brothers, we have our men's group. And also for the ladies, we have our card connection. I want to start in Micah 5 here in a moment. But I want to share with you that this, as the Lord unfolded this lesson to me, I was thrilled. I don't know if and in any of your studies, as you go deep into the Word of God, truths are revealed. As they say, Jim, you discover the gems of truth in the Word, that your heart elates and you begin to smile and you say, wow, that is amazing. And this was such a lesson for me, and I hope it is for you, and I can deliver it in the right way. If we research scriptures carefully, we find that many things happen in and around the town of Bethlehem. On the way back to Canaan with Jacob, when Jacob was returning with all of his family and sons and daughter, Rachel had Benjamin near Bethlehem, and then she died in childbirth. And her grave is there, and I guess there's still a grave marker, supposedly for the grave of Rachel at Bethlehem. In Judges, there's a terrible atrocity committed there, perpetrated on a woman. And it fomented a civil war in Israel, in which the tribe of Benjamin was nearly obliterated. And probably we remember, most of us, that David was born in Bethlehem. And that's significant for our lesson today. He resided there. He kept his father Jesse's sheep there. He was anointed by Samuel there to be king. And that's kind of the beginning of our story. But Bethlehem was chosen for greater things than these. For what reason was Bethlehem chosen? In all of this, in all of this lesson, we can see God working, bringing together the numerous threads of the salvation story, weaving many events together in concert that should just have us in awe of our God. Why, in fact, was the Lord born in Bethlehem? It's very significant that he was born there. So let's read in Micah 5, starting in verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. A great and marvelous prophecy there about Bethlehem and the one who was to be born there. Bethlehem was a small town, a very small town, approximately 5 to 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem, not that far away. And speaking of the small, we realize that God often works in ways that we don't expect. He works through the small and the insignificant. Remember that David himself was the youngest of 8 brothers who was chosen to be king and the one through whom the Messiah was to come. We remember that Christ chose the lowly fisherman and a tax collector and a zealot who wanted to overthrow Rome and others. He chose these kind of men to be his disciples and then his apostles. And as we were even studying this morning in the Bible class, remember many of the teachings of Jesus that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And if you want to be the first of all, you need to learn to serve and to serve others. So God works like this, and I think God loves to work like this. Not through the high and mighty, but through the lowly and the humble. This is an incredible prophecy if we read it all. Sometimes we only read verse 2. One was to come from Bethlehem who was the ruler in Israel, reference a king. But then it says his goings forth will be from the days of eternity, from of old. That, of course, can only be said of God, can it? From eternity. Only God inhabits eternity. And then it says, he will arise and shepherd his flock. And this is frequently used in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament of the kind of leadership that God desires for his people. That the one who is to lead is to be like a shepherd. In fact, the one word used in the New Testament, pastor, means shepherd. And that is the kind of leadership to be provided. We recall Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That kind of details the kind of leadership that God wants for his people. The prophecy was considered to be that of the coming Messiah, the son of David. And let's turn to Matthew 2 just to take a quick look at that. When the Magi had come, following the star, looking for the child, Herod, you know, he summons his wise men, if you will, and to say something, you know, to ask them, what about this? What about this? Where will he be born? And in Matthew 2, 4, it says, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he, meaning Herod, inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Because the Magi said, we've seen his star. That's why we're here. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, referring to Micah, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they understood at that time that this is where the Messiah would be born, the one who would shepherd God's people. And God had been preparing Bethlehem for this event. He had been bringing, as we said, lots of things together at this point in time, in this place. God doesn't just hope things happen. God makes things happen. That's the way he works. And we need to take a cue from him, not just sit around and hope, but to work with him to make things happen. Let's turn to Luke 2. So here we're going to introduce some privileged shepherds. But for this all to happen, you know the story, the angel had appeared to both Joseph and to Mary to speak of the birth of Jesus, the child, the Christ child. But somehow they had to get to Bethlehem for this to happen, right? For the prophecy to be fulfilled. So Luke 2:1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. Of course, this happened to fulfill the prophecy. You see, God had to get them there, and he got them there by having this taxation happen at this time when she was going to bear her child. You have to see God's hand in this. This was not just by accident that this happened this way. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. It's where David was born. It's called the city of David, right? And to fulfill the prophecy, that's where he had to be born. So we see here God working in and through people, through nations, and so forth, working through the Caesar at the time. But he called for this taxation to happen. And so they went to Bethlehem, the city of David. Well, you remember the story that the inn was full and they had no place for them, so they had to go where the animals were. Some debate it was a cave, and some say it was a stable. I don't know that we can say for sure, but it was certainly among the animals because he was laid in a manger, which is a trough for feeding animals. And as I was studying about this, I was wondering, why was that? Why did that have to be? I know we always talk, well, he was lowly and he came among the humble people and those who were poor, and I understand that, and I don't want to take away from that truth. But I believe there was a reason that he was born with the animals and he was laid in a manger. And I think this is what God was doing as he was bringing all this together. So Mary has the child. He's laid in the manger. Let's read verse 8, beginning. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This was, no doubt, the greatest announcement that was ever made to mankind, ever heralded on the face of the earth to anybody, that the Savior had come, the Messiah had come, the Lord had come, the one who had been awaited by the Jewish people for generation upon generation. And it was kind of a proverb among Jewish mothers that when she had a son, she would always wonder in her heart, will he be the one? Will he be the Messiah? They were always looking for him to come. Finally, he was here, and the announcement was made. And the announcement was made to shepherds. And again, we know these were of the lowest classes in society, almost outcasts, living out in the wild, in the fields, with the sheep, birthing lambs. They were generally unclean all the time, ceremonially. They could not get back to the temple to take care of that. And they just were kind of looked down on by the rest of even their brothers. So we asked the question, why didn't the angel appeared to some merchants. And there were certainly a lot of merchants in those days that helped the economy, and traders and so forth. Why didn't he appear to some wheat farmers? You know, wheat was an important crop. They needed bread all the time. The bread is a historical item in the history of the Jews. Why didn't he appear to some vineyard owners? You know, wine was an important thing for the Jews as well. Why not appear to some of them? I don't think they were lowly as class as the shepherds. Was it by chance that the shepherds were there? Were they just the first ones that were available and the angel came and said, oh, there's some shepherds, let's go talk to them and tell them the good news? You know, as you read the story, you see that they didn't go to anybody else, did they? The angel did not appear to anybody else, and then the other ones appeared and began to glorify God, and then they went back to heaven. It was only the shepherds that got this message. I think that's significant. Bethlehem, as we said, was very close to Jerusalem. And it was the capital of the country's sheep industry. It was estimated that some 250,000 lambs were born in and around Bethlehem every year. And Bethlehem, that industry provided the bulk of the sacrifices for the temple service. And these shepherds, no doubt, were involved in that industry. And they would be the ones who would be separating out the one-year-old male lambs who would be taken to Jerusalem to be sacrificed. As you recall, when Jesus on the triumphal entry came in and he found them selling and trading and so forth in the temple, how he got angry about that. But part of what they were doing were trading and selling the sacrifices that the pilgrims had to have when they came to Jerusalem. They had to buy them somewhere. And so, you know, these shepherds were involved in this business of supplying all of these lambs or the sacrifices of various kinds at the temple service. So now we start to get a little bit of an aha moment, don't we? Verse 15. Then when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And they were the very first, other than the family, Mary and Joseph, to see the baby, to see the little one. Now we ask this question. What did they see in the manger? Yes, they saw Christ the Lord. Yes, they saw the babe, the Savior, Emmanuel. But what else did they see as we consider this whole story? As we consider the prophecy that was made in Micah? Well, did they not see the great shepherd of the sheep? Did the prophecy not say he will arise and shepherd his flock? I don't know that they realized at the time that this was the great shepherd. And we don't know. But that's who they saw. The great shepherd. Let's go to John 10. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, doesn't he? Peter refers to Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. Just going to read a few verses here. You can go to John 10 and read the most of this chapter where he talks about him being the good shepherd and how he understands the sheep business, about the folds out in the wild and the folds that are in the city. I am the good shepherd. I'm in verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. My own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And this he would do. Again, we're reminded of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, David said, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul, and so forth. These shepherds took care of the sheep that were used in the temple service, but they were looking at the great shepherd who would care for God's lambs, that's you and me, lying there in the manger. But what else did they see? Something else, not more significant, but similarly significant. Did they not see the Lamb of God? The Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29, John the Baptist. In fact, he says this twice in the first chapter when he had baptized Jesus and the disciples were coming. And he says there, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The one who was destined to be led like a sheep to the slaughter. If we'd continue with Rick's reading this morning in Isaiah, that's what we would have read. Like a sheep, a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before a shearer, he did not open his mouth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that our Passover has been sacrificed, speaking of Jesus, the Lamb of God. He was given on the cross for our sins. So we have the shepherds, and I'm not saying they understood all this at that point, but we can look back and see this, how God bringing all this together at Bethlehem, and why the shepherds were there, and why the shepherds were the first one called, because they understood about sheep and shepherding, and about the one who lay in the manger, who would come to understand about sheep shepherding and actually become the Lamb of God who would die for the sins of the world. How could it be that such a thing was possible? Only God could do such a marvelous thing, to bring all these things together at one point in time, to see this magnificent and marvelous symbolism and to fulfill this prophecy that the Lamb of God would come, be born at Bethlehem, and the shepherds would be called to observe this lamb. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2. Verse 5. You know, the shepherd is different from the sheep, but in Christ Jesus, he is one in both. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. As the Son of God, he knew exactly what God required for man to be reconciled to him, perfect life. And as a Son of Man, he understood our weaknesses and our troubles, and was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And see, he understood then what it would take to live that perfect life in order to offer himself to God as that spotless lamb so that we might have forgiveness. The lamb without blemish. Let's go back and finish in Luke 2:17. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, speaking of the shepherds. They were the ones who first had not just the opportunity, but the joy, the thrill of telling others, he's here. The Savior has been born. The Anointed One, the Son of David, is here. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. They were probably wondering, how did these shepherds find this out? Is that really true? You know? I mean, just these guys? Why were they privy to this information? It's the way God works. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, heard and seen, just as had been told them. What a beautiful picture. Why the Lord had to be born in Bethlehem. Why he was. Why the shepherds. Why laid in a manger. He was a lamb. The Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. Only God in his infinite wisdom and working through history could bring about such an incredible melding of people and events to work his plan for the salvation of mankind. Bethlehem, city of David. David was a shepherd there. Shepherded his father's sheep. Bethlehem, known for having the sheep industry, having all the shepherds, God working from the very beginning to bring that all about, for us to see and wonder, and once again to say, praise the Lord for his marvelous wisdom. Do you serve this shepherd? Have you come under his rod and staff to let him guide you through life? He's a wonderful shepherd. He's kind, gracious. He'll lead you where you need to go. He will correct you when you need corrected. He'll bring you back when you need to come back. If you're not serving him, we encourage you to do that today. To accept his lordship, his shepherdship, if you will. Be baptized in his name and begin that walk. Let him shepherd you through life. If you're a Christian, you're straying. The shepherd wants you to come back. He's probably been doing many things in your life to get you to come back, and we encourage you, if you're ready now, to come back to the good shepherd. If you need prayer this morning, if you're struggling with anything, we stand ready to help you, to assist you. In any way, if you need help in your spiritual journey, let us know while Brother Jim leads us.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shadyside Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shadyside Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.